say hello at PMP to Paul Flattery. And Paul, I guess you were working the 1999 Choice Awards, correct?
Yes, I did. That was a really fun show.
But you're here to talk about the Billboard Awards, which will be on Fox TV on December 8th.
Live at 8 o'clock on the East Coast.
From the MGM Grand and in Las Vegas.
Yes, it's a huge hotel and a huge venue, and it's really big for an award show, in truth.
I don't know if I'm the only one, but I love award shows because I like to watch what the women are wearing.
That is a really interesting part about it. The other, for me, it's that they're live and there's a certain amount of unpredictability. And while you can plan certain forms of entertainment and within the show, a lot of the true moments come just from the spontaneous reactions of the people who win and what people do on the air.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the fun part.
What is, the last award show, I remember the look everybody gave Little Kim, who wore a dress that consisted of one breast covered and one uncovered.
Yeah.
What kind of outrageous things have you seen that maybe we didn't even get to see on TV?
Gosh. Oh, I don't know. I think MTV is a little bit, you know, is because it's on cable and because of what it is allowed to get away with a lot more than we are. Our show is, it's not that we're shackled by Fox's standards and practices or censors, if you will, but they have they go through all the lyrics of the songs and they go through everything that we're planning on doing and make sure that there's nothing there that's going to offend people.
Mm.
I mean, we have an opening planned that will be really interesting. I think it's I don't really want to give it away, but it's let me say it's revealing in the most extreme sense of the word.
Well, you've got some great talent that will be making appearances there.
Yeah, absolutely. We have obviously the show deals with the best in music in the year, and that's who we get pretty much every year. So we have people like everybody from Aerosmith to ZZ Top, from Metallica and Red Hot Chili Peppers to Leanne Rimes and Britney Spears and Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, for the kids. Yeah, you get to Christina Aguilera and the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Yeah, absolutely. They're great. We've worked with Christina before, and the team has worked with her and with NSYNC and 98 Degrees and Backstreet Boys. They're all great.
Yeah, I prefer, of course, the Willie Nelsons and ZZ Tops and Aerosmiths, but Celine Dion and
hometown, right?
Yeah, Celine Dion's pretty cool too.
Yes, she's giving up. She won 6 awards on last year's show, and we had it done by satellite because she was performing in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's really great that she's there this year.
Well, last year, of course, she had that Titanic deal going.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, this year you're going to get 2 co-hosts: the lovely Kathy Griffin from Suddenly Susan, and Adam Carolla, who's on Loveline and other shows as well.
That's right.
Why those two? Why not someone actually from the musical industry hosting it?
Well, I think it's all about who is going to do the best show, and the job of a host, besides like steering what we call in the business a traffic cop. And besides doing that, they've got to be able to react to what's happening live and to be entertaining. And a lot of music performers don't necessarily have that talent. Mm. 1 year we had Phil Collins as the host, and he could do that. He was a kind of like an entertainer. But it's unfair to ask, a lot of the people to take that burden on.
Mm.
Because the hosting is one of the perennial problems for every award show, who will host.
I was thinking in terms of Jennifer Lopez.
Well, I mean, Jennifer Lopez would have made an interesting choice.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, she can act and she can sing, supposedly. We're talking with Paul Flattery about the 1999 Billboard Music Awards on Fox, December 8th. And, it's an interesting story. Obviously, you don't have a Boston accent. You have one from London or Britain or England.
From Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah. And so you sound like the Beatles to me, which is cool. But you actually visited this country for some time in 1978 and actually ended up pretty much staying here, right?
That's correct. I came over to do some music videos. This was in the days when they were just starting out. And it kind of exploded in our faces. Most of the British talent we'd done videos for had come over here because of a variety of reasons, predominantly taxes. So we followed to do their videos, and then the whole thing started taking off in a big way.
I got to ask you, I got to talk to you about some of your clients. You've worked with some of the biggest names ever in music. And I'd love to know a little bit about them from a personal standpoint. You mentioned Phil Collins before. You did one of his videos.
I've done about 18 of his videos.
18 of his videos. What does he like to work with? He seems like a pretty upright guy.
He's terrific. I mean, he wants the best. He wants it to be fun. He's not looking at everything from a marketing point of view. How will I be viewed in this video? He really just wants to make the most entertaining piece that he can. And the same goes with Genesis to a great degree. And so I've been fortunate to work with Genesis as well as much as with Phil.
Any of the videos you did for Phil do incredibly well?
Yes, I think so. I mean, if you remember Land of Confusion, which was, you know, Phil and Genesis won a Grammy for them, that video. And, you know, I'm very proud of a lot of the things that I did with Phil, from Take Me Home and to Don't Lose That Number, where we parodied a lot of other videos.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
You know, yeah.
What did you do with Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson, I've done like 4 videos of Michael Jackson. I did Rock With You, She's Out of My Life, very early on. Then I did Billie Jean. And then more recently, I did a track called Liberian Girl, which was going to be released as a single and then wasn't. But it was released internationally as a single. And it has been seen here on when they do Michael Jackson weekends on MTV and so on.
Billie Jean, of course, was huge.
It was huge, yeah. Although TV Guide chose not to put it in there. Top 100 videos of all time.
Well, they had Thriller as number one, I think, if I remember.
Yeah,
I mean, what was it like to work with Michael? Tell us a little bit about him. We get so many tabloid things about that guy.
Well, Michael is... It's easier to deal with Michael over the phone than it is in person.
Really?
I mean, over the phone, he's completely just like everybody else and is laughing and is, you know, is very engaging. But when you actually get into direct contact with him, there seems to be a kind of a wall, a barrier, you know, kind of a surface there that prevents you from being intimate, if you will. But one time that we were giving him an award on the show, and Phil Collins was the host, and we flew up to his ranch in Neverland.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when Phil brought his wife and daughter, and Michael was really wanted to show Phil's daughter the toy room and all that. He was more interested in having a good time than he was in getting this award.
Well, he's a kid, so he likes to hang out with kids.
Yeah, yeah. And his house was gorgeous. I was surprised to see in it big pictures of him as when he was from the Jackson 5. I mean, it was odd.
Yeah. He worked also talking about beautiful people with Whitney Houston.
Yes, she's terrific.
She's lovely.
Yeah, she's terrific.
And most importantly, out of all the clients you've had, I'm most impressed about the Muppets. Now, what was Miss Piggy really like?
Miss Piggy was demanding. Excuse me, there's a phone ringing.
Oh, you can just let it go. Sorry.
The whole date had to be scheduled around her schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was about her. I mean, absolutely.
And I bet you that Kermit was the nicest frog you'd ever met.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Now, you've also worked with people like Alice Cooper, who we've had on the show, and Kenny G, and Billy Joel, and Prince, another one who is a little bit kind of a fussy individual. What was Prince like?
Well, when I worked with Prince, which was many years ago, which was like Controversy, Sexuality, 1999, he was in a phase where he would not talk to you. He spoke to you through other people, even though he was standing in front of you. So it was kind of a little bizarre. I mean, he would whisper to somebody and...
So he would say to someone, tell Paul that I want this changed?
And
when he was right in front of you?
Yeah. And unfortunately, you have a kind of tendency to say to that person back, well, tell Prince that, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, it was very strange.
That is so weird. Do you find that, you know, a lot of these people that you work with are geniuses, really. I mean, they really are. They're way ahead of their times. But they're also kind of like mentally disturbed in a way. They're a little different than most of us.
Well, I think they answer to different voices than you or I, perhaps.
Hmm. It's kind of weird. Who's the nicest, warmest person you worked with?
The nicest, warmest person?
Yeah. The anti-Michael Jackson Prince.
David Bowie is fabulous.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you met Iman?
No.
Yeah.
But he was always wonderful. Tina Turner, fabulous.
Hmm.
You know,
pretty nice legs too. Now, you've also worked with the Stones, right?
Yes, I've worked with the Stones quite a few times. That's always been an interesting adventure.
Well, as a Britisher, you must really enjoy that.
Well, I came from Liverpool, so I was really a Beatles
Yeah, okay.
And kind of in the very early days, there was a lot of rivalry between the Stones.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
But the Stones were difficult to work with because they had a very cavalier attitude about a lot of things. And I once had to fly down to, I make it sound like a chore, but I had to fly down to Monte Carlo to meet them,
mm-hmm.
in the south of France.
Yeah.
And they kept me waiting for 2 days. I was just there for a meeting.
2 days?
2 days while they played jammed, and it was not significant rehearsals because they were just, everybody was on a different instrument, you know, like Jagger was playing the drums, and and Keith wasn't there, he still wasn't there, so, and I was just kept waiting for like 2 whole days.
Did you want to leave?
Then they gave me 5 minutes at breakfast.
Did you feel like you should have left?
Well, I think there was always that expectation that it was going to happen.
What'd
the
you
meeting
end up,
was going to happen soon.
What did you end up doing for them?
Well, that was to do the videos from the Black and Blue album.
Uh-huh.
And then I've also done with them She's So Cold, Emotional Rescue.
Hmm.
And there was a documentary done in England for British television.
Hmm. Now, what do you worry about when you're doing an award show, whether it's Teen Choice or any of the other ones, the Billboard Music Awards? Is there something that concerns you? I know that I've talked to someone who does the Academy Awards. They worried about things like streakers and people running around naked and getting them in trouble. But that's something that can be edited. What do you worry about?
Well, yes, I don't think there's a big worry if it's not live. Then there's not a lot to worry about except making it as good an experience for the audience and keeping the atmosphere there.
But this show, December 8th, is live.
Yeah, this is live. And we try and do, when we do tape shows like the Teen Choice Awards, we still try and make them be as live. I hate the stopping and starting. The live show, it's a problem because you just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if you saw last year's show, but the show opened with Garth Brooks performing, and he flew around the audience on this rigging.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had the idea to have one of our co-hosts, Andy Dick, come in on the same kind of rigging and do a big pratfall into all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as he was coming down, he got his, because he was exaggerating his ineptitude.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to tie the lines up, and there we are in a live show, and one of the hosts is hanging 50 feet in the air. And it was like, what? Oh my God, what do we do now? Do we like crash to a commercial? Do we then, or is he going to be up there the whole show? You know, it's like, uh-oh.
There's a very strange individual right there.
Well, yeah, you know, but I've got to tell you, I am a big fan. I've worked with him, and I am a big fan, and I think he's going to get better and better.
I just worry about Snoopy Dogg Dogg and Jay-Z and all these guys, what they're going to say live on the air.
Well, I guess, I don't know whether it's been in the news, but we have Jay-Z may not be able to make it. But
well, he was arrested today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, he'll probably still be there, though. He'll be bailed out.
Well, yeah, hope so. Well, you know, one has to take the high road and all that.
Yeah, when you have rap artists, you have to deal with bailouts as well, you know.
Yeah, and Vegas, you know, was where Tupac was shot, of course, so there's a kind of a lingering thing. We had Bone Thugs and Harmony on the show a couple of years back, and their pyro set the set on fire. That's 2 hours before the live show, and we were almost ready to cancel the show, but certainly we wouldn't have made it live. We would have had to have thrown to a rerun of Melrose Place and probably tape the show later for the following day. But
I'm talking to Paul Flattery. Just want to remind folks that the Music Awards, we're talking about the 1999 Billboard Music Awards, air live December 8th on Fox TV. Just before I let you go, I know you wrote the book, The Illustrated History of British Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And I am obviously a huge British pop fan. For the Beatles, who were the best group of all time and still remain it in my mind, to you know, the Stones and the you know, everybody from Herman's Hermits to the Kinks to all the people who came over here, the British invasion really changed the face of music, not only in Britain, not only here, but all over the world.
Yeah, it did. And it was interesting because what they were doing was reinventing American music. So it was really, when you say it was a British invasion, it was almost like a homecoming.
Well, in a way it was, yeah, that's true. It was flattering. And all these people who were part of that grew up listening to American music.
Yes, and especially in Liverpool, where I come from, we used to be the biggest seaport, and therefore the sailors would come off the boat from New York with new records, and that's why Liverpool became such a hotbed of talent in that kind of form of music.
Are the Beatles still your all-time favorite group?
I'd have to say they are, yeah.
What about the chances of getting the remaining Beatles together for one of your award shows?
I'd say zero. I was involved with them on a show that was supposed to be for the UN, and even for the UN, they wouldn't get back together.
Really? Are you friendly with any of the Beatles at all?
No, I wouldn't say friendly. I've met them all, but I've worked with Ringo Starr on several projects, and George Harrison was the very first recipient of the Century Award in, I think, 1993 on the show.
Mm.
And, you know, I've worked with Paul McCartney. But
I heard that that Ringo was the most accessible of all of them.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. Mm. I'd say that's true.
Interesting stuff. Paul Flattery, who produced the 1999 Teen Choice Awards. What was your position in this particular show?
There's a team of us, really. There's Bob Bain, who's the executive producer, and Michael Levitt, who's really the talent producer, and I'm the producer that does like the formatting, and I also write the show. But the three of us creatively come up with the ideas and so on and so forth. There's no demarcation lines that anybody can come up with the ideas and anybody can say whether they think they're good or bad. We make a really great team.
Well, I hope that the show goes smoothly, and we all will be watching it December 8th on Fox Live on the air. Starts at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and Pacific, it'll be on tape if you're listening to this show right now out in the western part of the country. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Paul.
Not at all, Mark.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Paul Flattery.